people need to give marching bands respect.
And sorry, Notre Dame fans, when Ohio State comes a-calling, they're going to get their head coach. That and what do I have in common with the Winklevoss twins?
It's the emerging podcast scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. So there was a conversation that was started today, right after the show. Mitch bought a... he bought a Letterman jacket... Don't knock over my phone, you ass. Mitch bought a letter jacket from Kent State for $80 on Facebook. And
I thought it was a good item.
It does look like a good item.
Mitch is not going to believe me. I think it looks great.
I do think for his body, his physique, sometimes...
What does that got to do with the price of fish?
Everybody has different body and different physique. We were talking about RFK Jr.'s physique earlier in the show.
Yeah, we're
and
a big
again yesterday.
Show. You should have to disclose how he looks.
We're probably
like
going to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Before we make an official stance on our thoughts of the cabinet selections. But I do think.
Vice President Beefcake.
I do
Secretary
think.
Secretary of Beefcake.
Mitch, this is a good item for him, and I think it's going to be one of his go tos.
I think it's a nice jacket. It's a good buy. Keith. Like, wanted to make a joke about it. I'm like, no, I think it's a nice jacket. Keith never had a letter jacket. And he lettered in multiple sports in high school. And he never had one. I'm like, why would you not get a jacket for your letters? I had a letter jacket. Did you?
Yeah, no, I didn't play sports, really. Freshman basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Really cut
I forgot. Owen and I did.
You bet your ass I had a letter jacket.
Yeah, hell yeah.
As a freshman.
It was still a thing. Has it ever...
Okay, congratulations on all your
success. Not the cool thing or not the normal thing to do?
Apparently, in Crawford County, it isn't.
Because in our school...
At Colonel Crawford High School.
Everybody who had the letters, everybody wore them. Now, what would happen is, and this was unfortunate, I think the people that lettered in marching band... they'd have their jackets, and then the athletes would make fun of that.
Oh, that's a shame. I never actually did that. Of all the things I did, I never did that.
When you really think about it, it's ridiculous, because the band is coming to your games to help entertain.
Yeah.
And they always entertain. Like, they always get a round of applause. People watch the band.
I am pro-band.
Never watches the marching band? The football players, because they're in the locker room.
I will tell you, at Cardinal and Berkshire, and I believe Ledgemount, some of the football players also
in
the band.
I'm not talking about some of the football players. Talking about the team.
When I was in high school, my coach, who we would all run through a wall for him, he had disdain for the band.
Really?
I don't know what it was. He couldn't stand the band.
Can I tell you my band story?
Well, I was in the middle of telling you about my coach, but
fine,
you go right on. No, I'm done now.
I was in marching band my freshman year.
Oh, really?
What is
that? The first game of the year.
Oboe? Better than mine.
First game of the year, we were playing, Caney Valley. We're playing in Caney Valley. And at halftime, I went out, picked up my sousaphone.
Xylophone.
And about 2 minutes into the opening number, here walked Max Caldwell, the head coach of my football team, and walked over and he goes, "Do you plan on starting the rest of the year?" I was like, "Yes, sir." And he was like, "Well, I guess you're done playing in the marching band."
Did he not know you were in the band?
Wow.
He didn't care.
What an a-hole.
Well, he thought that was the time to deliver that news.
In the marching band.
What an a-hole.
What if you would have said my parents were really excited to watch the performance?
My parents weren't. My school was so small that, like, I was in it in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. I was in the high school band because they would just fill in those spots with the middle schoolers.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you guys in on a secret. I went from hating the marching band because we would do, as our coach told us, I went from hating the marching band to loving the marching band to, I'll tell you right now, a little secret to get on Friday Night Touchdown. If your son is in the marching band and plays football and he's out there in a football uniform, I am showing your son in the highlights. But the only little spot to that is... if there's multiple kids, like Chagrin Falls had like six kids that were on the, because I mean, it's an artistic school. You know what I mean? Like they do well with the arts.
I think Olmsted Falls had two or three when we played.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
And
they
then
did.
They came back in the second half and beat them.
I think they had four actually. Maybe it was four. And like, but I remember Chagrin Falls had so many. I'm like, okay, I can't name them all. Cause I will always at the beginning of the highlights, like, we'll be in, like, wherever, like, Bedford taking on Chagrin Falls, and here's Billy. Bedford at Chagrin Falls, there's Billy, he's on the xylophones, you know, something like that. I will always do it. But if you got, like, six kids, I don't have the time in the highlights, unless I come in on a blowout, and then it's like, you know what, we're showing the band. We're doing that. Because I got yelled at one time this year because we showed up, it was already 40-0. We had one highlight worth 11 seconds. And he's like, you got to stretch this. That's ridiculous. I'm like, you're always saying we're heavy. You say we're heavy every week. You say we're heavy. So I thought I was saving him time. Nope, doesn't matter. You're supposed to get 30 seconds. You at least get 20. Okay. All right. Learned my lesson. Took me 6 years. But I learned my lesson. I'm pro marching band.
Did you ever feel on the outside because you didn't have a letter jacket, Lima?
Yeah, did you ever feel that way?
Did I ever feel which way?
Did Jim have a letter jacket?
I think he did, but he didn't wear it.
Oh.
Yeah.
We had two t-shirt shops in town that would do them. And it was, I remember my senior year, I got my letter jacket. And it was, you got your letter in December. Or, no, November. But it took until, like, the second, the school year, so you only had, like, 4 months to wear your letter jacket. And I wore the hell out of it, because I knew I was never going to wear it in high school, or college. I knew that was, like, don't wear your letter jacket in college. And I never did. I wore it for 4 months. We had, like, a nice spring. It was, like, 70 degrees outside. I'm like, I'm wearing this jacket. I earned this jacket. I'm wearing this effing jacket.
Okay, but what about the, was it Jostin's ring?
Of course. So
I never had that.
Our class did not buy them.
No, I did not have that.
Our class did not buy them.
It was never interesting.
They did everything they could to get us to buy the rings, and nobody bought the rings.
Mine had
the
school get a cut? That was my gym, a black onyx. Wow.
Does the school get a cut of the rings?
Oh, I don't know.
They have to, since they let them just post up in there. I never was never interested.
Yeah, it's the Jostin's ring guys next to the military recruiters.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. But I never had that. What else? Oh, yeah. So he has that letter jacket. And I like, that's a nice letter jacket. But he does look an awful lot like Rudy, though, with that jacket.
Well, he at least looks like the lineman that comes in to put his jersey down first.
Yes. Does he look like Matthias?
I want him.
You ain't here to be no natty and no gilly gun.
I like him in the letter jacket, but I want him to treat everyone like they're a nerd. If he's going to wear it around, he needs to go, hey, get out of my way, dweeb.
I think we
and,
are
like,
going to have
to ball up their paper.
We are going to have to turn in our jackets to try to get Mitch more airtime on the radio in Keith Britton's office.
Keep AI Mitch on the air.
One at a time.
We turn in our headphones.
Yes. Here you go. You can have my
headphones. You're the morning show host. Act like it. I am. Which that scene never happened. No one was ever doing that. None of that was ever happening. Which I always feel bad for Dan Devine, and I feel I need to say it every time now.
They went out of their way to make him look that way.
He agreed to it because he was like, they were like, hey, man, like apparently they told him before, like they shot, like, hey,
it's a movie. We have to make it like this. There's a format.
There has to be somebody who's like against him, and he's like, and they said, like, it's not going to be too bad. And they make him out to be the biggest bastard ever. And he sees it. He until he died, his family, they went crazy. They still go crazy about it.
Like, I imagine.
My dad was not like that. He wanted Rudy to play.
He has a statue outside.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there a Rudy statue?
They're like, he wanted Rudy to play. He thought it was a great story. He used him as like a motivational person.
Now, here's the problem. I've always wondered, do you think because of that Rudy, because of the movie, the sacrifice that was made by Rudy to do everything he could to transfer in and to get on the damn team, did this spawn a lot of Rudy copycats around football everywhere at every level where a bunch of kids were like, well, I saw it work for Rudy.
Yeah.
It's going to work for me. And like Jim Tressel has to take the kids aside and go,
yes.
Hey, you know what? We do have preferred walk-ons, and then we have you trying out for the football team.
Yes.
Like, here's how it works here.
Yes, there's 100% 100%. That's accurate. There were kids who I went to high school with had no business playing college football, high school football, let alone college football. And they were like, oh, no, Rudy. And they would do that. And it's an inspiring movie. It's a great movie. I love the movie. It's one of my favorites. Some people hate it. I love that movie.
How could you hate it?
Well, I didn't go to Ohio State. Like, you went to Ohio State. You have skin in the game. I don't. So I gotta admit, guys, I really like Notre Dame. No, I'm not Catholic.
As an Ohio State fan, I have talked Notre Dame. It's been harder with Marcus Freeman there because I generally am rooting for him. I've talked to him. Like, I'm definitely rooting for that guy to do well. And because I'll eventually want him to be the Ohio State next football coach if they do well in the playoffs.
Boy, that's a different conversation now, too, because it was such a place. Go ahead. Finish your story.
I'm just saying that me being a Buckeye fan and always going after Irish fan, I still love the movie. The movie, the music in the movie, and I told you there is the final 45 minutes. If I am alone and don't have to keep my guard up, and I don't have to worry about anybody seeing me, I will cry approximately 7 times.
See, I never cried.
Every time. I have to leave the room when I watch it with the boys still.
Just have to leave the room.
I just leave the room. I know
that's
the part's
crazy.
Coming. I know when he's so little. I gotta be out of there.
When his dad, Ned Beatty, when his dad sees him in the crowd, that's my boy. I just get shivers thinking about
really?
It.
Like,
yeah, it's the nicest moment
when
of all
he says,
time.
You're 5 foot nothing. 100. I'm out of this.
Well,
I'm
and when Rock, what's Rock's name?
Yeah. Rock,
when
he, I still call him Rock.
Fortune.
In that movie.
When
Fortune.
He sees him walk out there and he passes him in the tunnel in the bowels of the stadium.
I'm getting misty eyed right now. Stop talking.
I cannot believe that you guys are like that.
I'm getting it again. I'm getting chills. I'm getting the chills thinking about it.
I think if people were to take bets on who's first to cry on things, it's always me.
I have to watch the movie now.
Out of all three of us.
This weekend, I have to watch the movie because it's that time of the year too.
Wow.
And I haven't seen it. It's one of those movies that I liked it so much that I didn't watch it. I have this, you know, Godfather. I'm staying away from the Godfather for like 5 years because the next time I watch the Godfather, it has to mean something.
So you know how I'm obsessed with my... Yeah, I was thinking about Sopranos, by the way, with that, and I went, no, not yet.
I'm due
not
for yet. Mad Men again.
I've been thinking about Mad
it's
Men.
It's been 4 years.
Yep, I've been thinking about Mad Men, because I always find something
about
new about it.
Thinking about Mad Men.
It's true. You know, I'm obsessed with my dynasties, and I like it because it sends me down rabbit holes. So, I got another story to tell about that. How do I tell that story? But I'll tell you in a second. So I went, because you made me think about something here with Marcus Freeman. So on YouTube, there is a video of Lou Holtz's first press conference at Notre Dame. And it's from, I forget the station, in Minnesota. They go live to Notre Dame. And the guy reporting, it's like, you know, they said this was, he's like, it's my personal opinion that the president or the father, whatever his name is, at Notre Dame and Lou Holtz have been in communication for quite some time, and that this was put together a long time. The process was put in motion a long time ago. Like, there were people like Minnesota, they were mad that Lou Holtz was leaving Minnesota for Notre Dame. And basically Lou Holtz, as respectfully as he could, was like, guys, it's Notre Dame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is Notre Dame still a destination job, or is it a stepping stone job? Because you just said that about Marcus Freeman, and it was rather flippant.
It's only a stepping stone. This will sound terribly condescending. It is a dream job for 98.9% of the coaches, or even it might be a dream job for 100% of the coaches. I mean, even Urban Meyer wanted to coach at Notre Dame. I mean, he flat out said it was like Ohio State and Notre Dame. So it is a dream job, absolutely. But the destination for almost every football coach that goes to Notre Dame, they'd be content there except for if Ohio State opened up. I mean, it's just the reason, and I know people are probably rolling their eyes saying you're just a Buckeye homer. And I am a Buckeye homer.
Yes, you are.
But there are limitations at Notre Dame that do not exist at Ohio State. And so that's why Ohio State is always going to be a better job. Now, if you've been a Notre Dame fan your whole life and raised Catholic and you have the Rudy tattoo on you, yeah, you're going to be just, especially if you win at Notre Dame, right? If you are in position to where you're winning, you're already got an automatic playoff bid basically every year, the way they've rigged the system. So you aren't really going to want to go anywhere else. But then the Marcus Freemans of the world, yeah, they'd rather be at Ohio State. They just would. And so this bounce back for Freeman, I mean, you remember, it was a little bit of tenuous ground there when we first started talking about him. Remember they coughed up that bowl game, and then the next year...
Then they lost to Ohio State.
Yeah, they lost to Ohio State. And so all of a sudden it's like, is Marcus Freeman going to be here? Well, now he's stabilized the ship, and they are pounding.
Well, teams. I really thought in the Northern Iowa or Northern Illinois game that they lost, Tom Fornelli, CBS, had said, "Hey, he got himself fired today. Not that he's going to get fired
this year.
He started the process of being fired. Like, this is what people will go to." And I agreed with him.
Because you were thinking Willingham, you were thinking Bob Davey.
Yeah, I agreed with him, and I thought that they're supposed to be this juggernaut team. Like, and juggernaut to Notre Dame standard juggernaut. Like, I don't think that they would go out there and beat Oregon or Ohio State, for that matter. I don't think that they would beat Texas, like that type of thing. But I think that they would be a guaranteed playoff team. And when they lost to Northern Illinois, it's like, what are you? Well, they've answered the bell.
Yes,
I mean, except
they
for a touchdown win against
game was
a good Louisville team. I mean, Louisville's still probably going to be a 9-3 football team. But except for a touchdown win, they've blown out everybody they've played. Now, you could say soft schedule, but everybody can say soft schedule at this point with everybody, it seems. I just found that to be so incredible and interesting when you said, until Ohio State comes calling. Because I look at Brian Kelly, I go, why did you do this? I don't understand the motivation to leave a Notre Dame. Like, but this is where I'm at. I'm a Midwest guy. If my son was accepted to Notre Dame as a student, and he won't be, you can already tell. If my son were to somehow be accepted to Notre Dame as a student, I would find a way to make it all work. I would be overcome with emotion that my son even attends Notre Dame, let alone play football at Notre Dame. My simple Midwest adoration of Notre Dame tells me it's a destination job. If you got there, you stay there, and then when you're done at Notre Dame, you step down as they're supposed. You're not supposed to be fired.
Yeah.
You're supposed to step down, and then that's your last job you get at any high level. Like, I know Lou Holtz resurrected South Carolina football, but no one was ever saying South Carolina football is a national championship level team with Lou Holtz. And then you get Brian Kelly and go, why did you make that decision? How could you make that decision?
I thought Brian Kelly was going to win national championships at LSU.
I did not. I felt that he did it to chase one because he saw like there was a ceiling there at Notre Dame. And I felt it made Notre Dame look really bad. Like, this is the truth of what Notre Dame is. You haven't won one since 1988, and that sign's done. You're not winning another one. And maybe that's still true. But like, why would you leave there for LSU? You got money. You got a contract.
Honestly,
Notre Dame can pay you as much as anybody.
LSU has had how many different coaches win national championships? Three. So I thought you were getting, and this is where I'm as wrong as I've ever been, as phony as Brian Kelly can come off, and the humiliation of all the press conferences and the weird stuff, and as people are, you know, unveiling the curtain behind, you know, you're seeing some of the stuff behind the scenes that you're like, how is that guy such a good coach? Because he was a great coach. That Cincinnati era that he had was exceptional.
Everywhere he was at.
Everywhere.
Grand Valley, yes. I think, is where it all started. I mean, he's been exceptional.
So I thought
everywhere.
If you give him SEC talent, where you are a car ride away from the best players in all of the country, and then you're going to have big wins because you're going to have the opportunity week in and week out. I just thought that it was a no-brainer. I thought he was going to win a national championship.
And it's starting to feel to me very Jimbo. Jimbo Fisher.
Boy, that's an interesting comparison.
It's starting to feel very Jimbo Fisher. Like, because you look at a place like A&M, finally, I think Mike Elko is getting the best of what A&M has to offer. I think that Mike Elko is a hell of a coach. I picked him to be 10-2 this year. I think their schedule helps them. So I picked him to be 10-2. I think I'm going to end up being close. They still have Texas on that schedule, don't they?
I believe so.
Okay, so I think they're going to be 9-3. All right, so I think I'm going to be close. But I think that he's going to get them really close to where they need to go. I can't say that A&M's going to be a national champion with Mike Elko. I'm not going to do that. But with LSU, and why I make that comparison, he's from Massachusetts. And it just looks, it just doesn't look like a fit. Like Ed Orgeron. Yeah, they had their problems. Ed Orgeron was obviously a fit. Les Miles is from Ohio. I don't know if Les Miles is a fit. Nick Saban's not from there. Nick Saban is from West Virginia. It didn't seem like a fit. I don't think you have to be from that area of the country. But it just didn't seem to be the right reasoning to go to LSU. And so I just felt it was like this wrong thing. And when Jimbo Fisher went to A&M, I go, man, it just feels like this wrong move.
Well, what's funny is I never thought Brian Kelly was a good fit stylistically and personality with Notre Dame. Because I always
thought
Brian Kelly was willing to get in the dirt a little bit. And Notre Dame, to me, they went with Brian Kelly because maybe they thought they could harken back to the days of Lou Holtz where, look up, there's a book, Under the Tarnished Dome. Like, that was not the Notre Dame, Notre Dame that you know and love when they had...
He fought for Tony Rice, but it's almost like Tony Rice was this guy that he used, not used, but had, that was this big conversation with Notre Dame fans while maybe other guys took maybe impermissible benefits or whatever. You talk about the Tarnished Dome. I don't know. I loved Tony Rice when I was a little kid. But either way, I don't know if there's a good way to say it or a good way to figure it out. Like, I just got that feeling. I'm going, you just don't look right at LSU. You don't look right in that shirt. You don't look right on those sidelines. You don't seem to be an LSU guy. He is a prickly person. And so, like Notre Dame, there is a stuffiness to Notre Dame in a way. Now, I had a great time, and they were very welcoming at the tailgate I was at last year.
I want to go. I want to go really badly.
But those were Northeast Ohio people who did grow up in that area, but they've relocated Northeast Ohio. They were very welcoming people. But when I went there for a non-game day, like, this is the real deal. Like, these people are smart, and they know I am not one of them. It was with you, and we just look like, we're too old to be students. We're too young to be someone's parents.
Yeah.
And it was a Sunday. We looked like we were seeing the sights, and
we're just tourists.
They were not interested in us being there.
Same thing happened. So go to Harvard, right? Well, me and my wife were in Boston.
Yeah.
We're like, whatever. We got time to kill. We get in an Uber. We go right by the football stadium. I'm like, I want to see the football stadium just because. And then there happened to be that weekend the biggest regatta of the year there. I can't remember what it's called. I'll look it up. But it was like straight out of Social Network. Remember the regatta scene?
What, Henley?
No. I cannot remember the name of it. But all these rich people that were lining up along the river and watching this, it was very cool. And then we walked, and it's all tourists.
The head of Charles?
Yes, head of Charles. That's exactly what it is. And so then people fly in from all over the world for it, too.
It's the largest 3-day regatta in the world.
Ohio State was there.
Of course they were.
So that was cool to, like, go see the big statues and everything in their quad. It's all tourism there, right? But then I'm like, let's go to places that if we actually went to school at Harvard. So we went into some of the shops and everything, and exactly the same. And you can't even in what is the movie where they
Skulls.
No, Harry Potter.
Okay, that's close.
The Harry Potter filmed one of their all the education scenes, all the school scenes was filmed in this one building at Harvard. And so I'm like, we got to try. There are signs everywhere. Do not, you will be arrested. This is private property. Get out of here. Like, they are very stern. And I'm like, who cares? I told Sarah, I go, we got to see it. I go up to the door. And it was immediately, excuse me, like, because I didn't have a badge.
And
you've got to walk through and use a badge.
Yeah.
And I could not, I looked real quick. I'm like, I'm getting a look at this. Sarah would not even come close. She's playing by the rules. And I'm
just. But you're the only one who has the balls to do it.
I am just not, it's not even.
I didn't have the balls.
But I'm just like, I want to see this. Like, I've seen the pictures. I'm going in to take a look at this. And it was immediate. It was the worker at the front desk. It was a security guard. And I'm trying to get my camera out. No, couldn't even get my camera out in time, like my phone out in time to take a picture. And it was hallowed grounds. Like, it was actually pretty cool to see, but you could not get in there.
I had no idea.
So it reminded me of Notre Dame.
You never told me that story.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, it was just stuffy, and they gave you a look like, we know you shouldn't be here. They didn't do all that because, you know, you went in there and left a number 2 in the bathroom.
A little update. The head of Charles Regatta, this according to their website, the world's largest 3-day rowing competition, and attracts approximately 40,000 spectators, 1,100 competitors, 2,400 volunteers, and two Winklevosses.
Winklevoss, I was going to say the Winklevoss twins. I was waiting for you to stop.
Two Winklevosses.
That's amazing. I don't find, but, so you, Marcus Freeman would leave Notre Dame to go to Ohio State?
I think he would absolutely. Now, here's the rub, right? What if he wins a national championship at Notre Dame? It's like, well, why would you leave Notre Dame? But remember, Nick Saban won a national championship at LSU and then went to Alabama.
See, it's odd, though.
Well, he made a stop in between.
Well, he made the stop in between. But Notre Dame, like the old-style Notre Dame fans will tell you, it's such a pressurized job. You're not meant to be the Notre Dame coach for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Nick Saban was at Alabama for 18 years. You are not supposed to be the head coach at Notre Dame for 18 years. So, like, under a decade, honestly.
What about Marcus Freeman wins the national championship at Notre Dame, spends a year with the Chicago Bears, and then he's in Columbus.
Maybe. Maybe. But it's, I don't think this is Marcus Freeman's last head coaching job. I just don't. I hope it's not because he was fired from this
job. Right. It's weird. I have always hated Notre Dame.
I pull for him.
But I'm rooting for him. And so I never thought that was possible. Maybe it's me growing up, being a little more mature. Like, my hatred for Notre Dame was really just because you're battling out for the same territory of iconic football programs, the Cadillac program, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that I know Notre Dame fans, you know, just like I know Michigan fans. So you're always, like, posting up and trying to carve out and, like, you're fighting that battle for the next generation of fans. Because Michigan being down for as many years, what were they down, 15 years?
Yeah.
That meant,
give or take, I mean, they did win a Sugar Bowl in there.
Yeah, that meant that, yeah, what, to, with
Brady Hoke.
Who was the speedster? Who was the quarterback? Denard Robinson. So, because of that, remember when I was young, it was cool to be a Michigan fan. They had the great licensing deals with Nike. You saw Michigan stuff in every store. That went away. That crap went away because they were not good, and Ohio State was so much clearly better.
Yeah.
The Ohio State became the cool program with a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And so that put a dent in the Michigan fandom. Well, that's what I need Ohio State to continue to be over Notre Dame, because if Notre Dame ever becomes the superior program in the region, because Ohio State has been that in the region since really Jim Tressel took over. The day Jim Tressel took over, Ohio State rose up. Notre Dame came down. Michigan came down. All right, Michigan won a national championship last year, and they're willing to pay. And they're gonna go get great quarterbacks. They're going to get great talent every year. So this is kind of a fun regional battle, but this is why Ryan Day needs to be careful. You can't cede any turf in this war. And I know these programs all consider themselves national, but you better be the preeminent regional program in the Midwest.